The Holy Spirit according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from my Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things to you. Sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Invite you to be seated. I'm going to turn this down a little bit. There. So today we celebrate the Pentecost, originally a Jewish holiday that occurred 50 days after Passover, still called Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks. Pentecost actually literally means in Greek, 50th. And because of the first reading from Acts, Christians have nicknamed it the birthday of the church, Pentecost. But I think that an even better description for Pentecost is connected to the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we think of church as institutional church. So I think a better description is really the festival of the Holy Spirit. And whenever Pentecost comes up, some Lutherans become a little bit apologetic for not being very Spirit-filled. We don't have altar calls or testimonials. We're too traditional, they worry, not spontaneous enough, too controlled. And some may find that to be true of a traditional style of liturgy. However, if you're talking about the understanding, the theology, and not style, there is no denomination that confesses so clearly that the Holy Spirit is regularly at work among us than Lutherans. We confess that the church itself is the work of the Holy Spirit, not just then, but whenever we gather. And also that our faith, all any faith, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may recall these words from Martin Luther's Small Catechism, which he wrote to help teach the faith in the home, which we continue to use in confirmation and also baptism classes. And Luther describes the third article of the Apostles' Creed, the one about the Holy Spirit. And this is how it goes. "I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith just as he calls, gathers, and enlightens and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common faith." That's Luther's description of that whole third paragraph of the Apostles' Creed, which we'll say a little bit later. We don't work at being holy or at having faith. We're made holy, set apart, not with halos, not by our good works, but made, set apart and given faith by the Holy Spirit, who comes to us as we gather together through God's word and sacraments. The Holy Spirit comes not magically or unexpectedly, like zap, but through the word and through the sacraments. Through them, as through instruments, the Holy Spirit comes to Christians and works in and among us. Of course, God's Spirit can work whenever and wherever God's Spirit wants to work. The point is that we have the assurance that when we gather around the word, we can count on the Holy Spirit to come, to regularly come. The Spirit's work as we gather is to convict us, to reveal our heart, to drown the old sinner, to drive us to Christ's mercy, and so to raise us up, to free us from sin, and to renew our faith. See, wherever there's faith, there is the Holy Spirit at work. Can't see it, but we know that wherever there's faith, the Holy Spirit's at work. So if we're given faith as a gift, some people wonder, why don't I feel like I have a lot of faith sometimes? Which is kind of the struggle that we all have through our life as Christians. The truth is that our own faith can often be hidden from us, first of all. In the longest confession of every year, Ash Wednesday, we confess together as a communion of saints that we fail to commend the faith that is in us. And even doubting is a sign of faith. The opposite of faith isn't doubt. The opposite of faith is indifference, not caring, not believing. If you're indifferent, you don't doubt. You just don't care. See, doubting and faith go together in the Christian life until the day we die and our sin is behind us, our self-centeredness. And we have an advocate. That's the word that John, he's the only one who uses that word in any of the New Testament readings, for the Holy Spirit. We have an advocate, even in doubt, maybe especially when we're doubting or when we feel far from God, who wishes to console and comfort us at all times. Even when we can't pray as we ought, God's Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words, Paul writes. We have a spirit advocate, a comforter, who helps us in any spiritual weakness or trouble, who comes to us not magically, but through real concrete things that we can see and hear, words and sacraments, which is why Lutherans have traditionally insisted on preaching and communion regularly every Sunday, so that we put ourselves in the way of the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can work faith in and among us. In any case, whether we can feel or see our own faith or not, the Holy Spirit is at work among us right now, this morning, through these words. The Holy Spirit is breathed on you in this gathering this morning, through the word and in the meal. Any faith that you've ever experienced is a sign of the Holy Spirit at work in you. The Sundays we don't want to go to church are perhaps when we probably need to most, right? When we feel an absence of faith or doubt or even indifference, when we're in dread of something in life, or when we're fearful, or when we feel empty or despairing. That's the time especially to put yourself once again in the way of the Holy Spirit, who groans with us over the burdens in life, who helps us to pray with sighs too deep for words, and who aches to give us faith. I want to say a few words about the three baptisms that will happen at the late service this morning. Sammy and brothers Caden and Aaron will be baptized. We've planned and practiced the baptisms for a month now with both Sammy and Caden on Sundays and during the week, because both boys have autism. They have very different experiences of autism, as autism has a very large spectrum of different experiences and symptoms. And so I want to introduce you to both of them briefly in words, as you might meet them in the future or worship with them. And it's helpful, I think, for people to understand autism so that we can be welcoming and feel at ease also, which understanding does. Sammy has nonverbal autism, which means he cannot speak except for a few words when he's very motivated. People with autism often experience sight and sound and all of the five senses in an overwhelming kind of way, overstimulating way. And as you might guess, these are not medical terms that I'm using. This is my understanding as I've been learning about it. One girl, when she developed speech at 11 years old, after her parents really really pushed her to do so, for 11 years she didn't speak, and after that, for a few years she learned, she described that the reason that she kept banging her head on the floor and getting concussions was because otherwise it felt like her body would explode. I might experience worship as you do, but for somebody with autism, depending on the end of the spectrum, it could feel like a circus, or like Times Square on New Year's Eve, and like firecrackers all going off at once. It's overstimulating and overwhelming. And people with autism react to overstimulation in many ways. For instance, Sammy runs and gets his body working, and also he will laugh. When Sammy came into the late service a few weeks ago during the confession and absolution, and he was laughing, but it doesn't mean he's having fun. Usually it's because he's overstimulated and trying to calm himself down. He also makes noises and says words and out loud at different times, or just sounds, and sometimes claps his hands together. And this is how I understand it: to feel himself in the middle of too much stimulation. I know Sammy a little bit better than I know Caden so far, but I also know that Caden will talk. He doesn't kind of know the rules of social etiquette are very, very difficult for people with autism to learn, depending on the end of the spectrum. But Caden also quotes lines from movies as a way to kind of communicate and feel himself. And when he's disturbed and overstimulated with what's going on, he makes noises and talks. There's no need to feel sorry for either boy or anybody with autism. They're alive. They're God's children. And they enjoy the gift of life just as all of God's children do. And I am very humbled that St. Matthew is learning to be a congregation where people with special needs, or I could say different experiences of our world, that we're learning to be one family of faith together and receive people for who they are and how they experience life. I'm delighted that all three boys will be baptized today. Each will be baptized in a slightly different way that communicates God's love to them and not trauma, as water does to two of the boys. The Holy Spirit will be mightily at work, just as the Holy Spirit is at work in all baptisms. Simply put, today marks the day for each of these three boys that God proves in their own personal history that he loves them, that they are his, and that he'll never let them go, just as God communicated that to you at your baptism. Amen. Hymn 401.